Thanks, Dean. I'm Charlie, and I am an addict.
Hi, Charlie.
Thank you for allowing me to be of service. Can everyone hear?
Yeah.
I feel like, okay. Oh, I'm really nervous. I used to come here in my, well, before I even got clean, like, I used to sit in the chairs there and think, oh, my God, anyone that sat in this chair must have, like, made it in life, you know? And when I got asked to do the chair, I remembered that thought, and I thought, but not you. Because that's where my head takes me, you see, and that's where my addiction keeps me. But what recovery gives me is a choice to think a different way, you know, and that's why I keep coming back here. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I used drugs for many, many years. I desperately wanted to change the way that I felt, and I didn't know that's what I was trying to do at the time, you know. I just thought I took drugs because I liked taking drugs. I didn't understand. I was powerless over my addiction. I didn't know a lot at that time, you know. And if I just go back to when I used to come here, you know, in my early recovery, and I used to desperately want to get to 30 days, you know, that was my... It was a dream of mine then, you know, it was a dream. And I used to leave this meeting and catch the bus home, and I used to go on my phone and I used to work out the next Friday it would be when I'd be 30 days so I could come and get the key ring. And I did this many times, and I would literally get off the bus and go to school. I didn't understand why I couldn't stop. I didn't understand that I was powerless over my addiction. That's not my story today, you know. Addictions in my family. My mum's in recovery. My dad was an alcoholic. He is not in recovery. He died when I was 16. And he was in active addiction at that point. I knew about recovery, you know. I knew what recovery was because my mum was in recovery, is in recovery. And I never thought that would be something for me, you know, that wasn't my path. I witnessed a lot, you know. I was the eldest of two, three. And, you know, being brought up with a parent in active addiction, it was chaotic, you know, all the trappings that active addiction brings, I saw. And that was, you know, that was my story, and it was the only story I knew. I didn't know at the time that that was, you know, the chaos, the madness, the fear that kind of was with that. That is all I knew. So for me, that wasn't necessarily a childhood that was like, I just thought that's how it was, you know, that was my life, that's all I knew. And it's only coming into recovery, funnily enough, you know, one, that I've been able to admit that kind of stuff, look at that kind of stuff, and I guess give myself a cuddle and say, wow, that was pretty hard, man, and I managed to get through that. So that, for me, it, you know, that was a big deal. My mum detoxed when I was about 11 or 12 and got into the rooms. And, you know, life was... changed quite quickly, you know, structure, boundaries and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't sticking around for that. I left home when I was about 15 and a half, 16. I kind of packed my bags, not because I didn't want to be, I didn't love my mum, or, you know, but for me, I felt like a grown up. I'd been doing stuff since I was like eight, you know. I actually thought I was grown. I was out. I was, you know, doing my thing. So I knew about addiction, knew about recovery, and I had been drinking problematically, you know, looking back now, well, from the first time I drank, you know, from the first time I had anything that changed, that enabled me to change the way that I felt, that was me. And I thought it was great. I just, you know, I remember as a child drinking and not wanting to go to the toilet, because I thought it was going to let alcohol out of my body, and I did not want to let that. Literally, I remember holding my wee for as long as I could, because that shit was sacred, man, you know? And I did not want to let that go. So, and then life continued, you know, as did my addiction. And there were fun times, there were extremely horrible times, and, you know, ultimately I was brought to my knees. It was horrific, you know. I was well and truly powerless over my addiction. You know, I was hopeless. I was desperate. And it took me to get to that point of pure desperation to start to make any changes, you know. I tried to change a lot of things in my life because I was in so much pain. The one thing I didn't try to do was to stop taking drugs, you know. That was my solution. That was my life, you know. That was me. You know, my drugs defined me. They were my saviour. You know, it got to that point where I... Just checking my time. Yeah, you know, it got to that point where I couldn't go on anymore. You know, and by this time I had tried to stop. I tried every which way to stop, you know. And I couldn't. I could not stop, no matter what I tried, you know. And this is when the denial had gone. You know, the denial served me fantastically because when I was in denial, you know, I didn't have a problem. I was cool. And, you know, that was a comfortable place for me. You know, denial was great. When that denial shifted, you know, when I could no longer hide, you know, the destruction in my path, you know, that's when it got fucking painful for me, you know. And I didn't see a way out. You know, I couldn't see a way out. You know, I couldn't get to 30 days, you know, and I didn't understand. I didn't understand why. So powerlessness, hopelessness, desperation. You know, I've got a daughter, she's 14. She was 9 when I got clean. And, you know, I was on the verge of losing everything. You know, I had an eviction order over my home, my daughter's home, you know, my daughter's home. I was, you know, professional agencies were involved in my life. You know, my house was about to be taken from me. I had, you know, I was desperate, man. You know, I was going to lose everything that I loved. You know, I hadn't opened any post for about a year and a half. You know, it was, I could not cope. I couldn't cope. And I ended up on a hospital ward, you know, absolute. And I got detoxed while I was on that ward, and detoxed from alcohol. I was alcohol dependent at this point. And, you know, and I woke up on that ward, you know, with a mental health nurse. I was under a section at this point by the side of my bed, not realising who she was. And I just thought, I didn't understand why this nurse was by the side of my bed. It wasn't until I, you know, tried to go to the toilet and she was coming with me and wouldn't let me go by myself. You know, I was like, you can't come in here. I'm going to go to the toilet. She was like, I can. And I, you know, and I just didn't understand that. I just couldn't concept what was quite happening here. Oh, God. Right. Anyway, so I didn't use ever again from that day. But I tell you what, yeah, I woke up from this, you know, after being in hospital for 4 days, 5 days, you know. And my first thought was, get me out of this bed, I'm going out. Yeah, that was my first thought. You know, I haven't used since that day. That was over 4.5 years ago. And I am a fully fledged member of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and I wear my badge with pride. It's changed my life. My life has done a 360, you know. I couldn't ask for anything more. I have got a life beyond my wildest dreams. And that is something that I often forget, you know. I've got a full-time job, you know. I've got my lovely daughter. I've got my lovely home still. My bills are paid. You know, I was driving the other day thinking, oh, I'm in my overdraft. I was like, fucking hell, you've got an overdraft. So I was, you know, it's, you know, my life is good. And the reason that my life is good is because there's 12 steps, you know, that I choose to work. I've got a beautiful sponsor and I've got beautiful friends in NA. And I do service commitments and I attend meetings. And I work the steps, and the steps for me is where the magic happens. You know, it's where I make change. It's where I learn about myself. You know, NA has taught me to love. It's taught me to love me. It's taught me to love others. I'm still learning to love myself. You know, that is a work in progress. But, you know, I have faith today. I have immense faith that a power greater than myself, you know, can give me whatever I need. And, you know, step three is my best step. It's my most beloved step because I know that I don't have to do this shit alone. You know, that would be very, very scary. And not that I don't like to take my own will back and do things my own way, but, you know, I can I know when I'm doing it and, you know, I try and hand it over. You know, I went to the toilet before I started this chair. Don't think I was on my knees in those toilets, you know. I was asking God, you know, because I know God's got me. Not a religious God, a spiritual God, a God of my understanding. And, you know, a God that carries me when I cannot carry myself. And I've got a fellowship that can carry me when I cannot carry myself. I will be forever grateful to NA. You know, if there's any newcomers in the room, just keep coming back. You know, it's as simple as that. That's all you need to do. That is what I was told. That is what I did. And that is what I continue to do. And every single day, I get another day clean, you know. And it is a miracle. And I do believe miracles happen. I've seen miracles happen, in fact, in these rooms, you know. I am a miracle. And, you know, I'll be forever grateful to this program. Sometimes it's hard, as is life, but it gives me the tools to live life the best way that I can, the best way that I know how. And, you know, and it gives me opportunities to come here and share my experience, strength and hope with you guys. And I'll leave it there. Thank you.